Next, we move on to Ethiopia, and we are going to have another excellent presentation, and this comes from Sarah Harlan. She's going to be speaking on using existing social networks to improve knowledge exchange among family planning and reproductive health professionals in Ethiopia. Sarah Harlan is the program officer with the Knowledge for Health Project at Johns Hopkins Center for Communication Program. She holds an MPH, Master of Public Health, from the UNC School of Public Health. She has experience in family planning, reproductive health, HIV prevention, knowledge management, and research dissemination. Please welcome Sarah.
Lower this a little bit. Thank you so much, and thanks to everybody for coming. It's nice to be a part of this panel. Today I'll be talking about a needs assessment and network mapping study that the Knowledge for Health Project, or K4Health, conducted in order to find ways to improve knowledge exchange among family planning and reproductive health providers in Ethiopia. And the K4Health Project is a five-year knowledge management project focusing mostly on reproductive health and HIV, and we're funded by USAID, and we're based out of the Center for Communication Programs, and our partners are FHI 360 and Management Sciences for Health. And I have nothing to disclose. So I'm just going to start out with a little bit of background about Ethiopia. The population is about 83 million. The fertility rate, although it's decreased a lot in the past 15 or 20 years, it's still pretty high. It hovers around 5 children per woman. Maternal mortality ratio tends to be pretty high, infant mortality rate as well. About 1 in 17 children die before reaching their first birthday. And use of modern contraception has increased a lot in the past couple decades, but it's still only about 30%. And unmet need for contraception is about a quarter of all women. There are some opportunities to improve FP and RH programming in the country. The government has tended to be quite supportive of family planning and reproductive health. There are new development partnerships and increased donor support in recent years. And just in terms of health information, to give a little bit of background, across Africa, health professionals and policymakers generally lack the information, the basic information that they need to make evidence-based health decisions and provide quality care. And there's little to no information about knowledge exchange specific to reproductive health. So in order to address this knowledge gap, K4Health conducted a needs assessment and network mapping study to analyze the current knowledge management system at the zonal and woreda, or community level, in Ethiopia, to explain the key determinants to health professionals' access to and use of the latest health research, evidence, and best practices, and to identify knowledge management and knowledge exchange interventions and strategies to increase the use of evidence-based information in programs and practice. And the study population was a variety of health professionals focusing on FP and RH, so program officers, information officers, senior level advisors, healthcare providers at both government organizations and NGOs. And so this was part of a larger body of research conducted by K4Health to better understand the information needs of healthcare providers worldwide. And even within Ethiopia, it was a pretty large study. We did this at the national, regional, and sub-regional levels within 4 zones and 10 woredas in Ethiopia. But for this presentation, I'm just going to be focusing on the sub-regional level, so the zones and the woredas, the community level. So our methodology was we did key informant interviews, focus group discussions, and then we also did net map exercises, which I'll explain in a little bit. We had a total of 12 interviews and focus groups at the zonal woreda level among 20 individuals, and then we also had net map exercises. The interviews and focus groups, the topics were information needs, barriers and challenges, communication channels, which how they communicate information, how the FP and RH networks function, and recommendations that they had for improving exchange of knowledge. And network mapping, or NetMap, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's a participatory social network mapping tool. Individuals and groups are given a question or an issue to address, and they really actually map it out on a flip chart in order to answer that question. So this is an example of one that we did in Ethiopia. Individuals and groups list all of the family planning and reproductive health actors, in this case, and then they draw links between them, and then they add coins to the different actors to represent their relative influence. And then they discuss the goals of each actor and potential barriers of exchanging information. And then after this process, the data is entered into a software program, so it becomes something that looks like what you see on the right. And this is actually the aggregate net map that includes national, regional, and community level data. But I'm just going to be talking about the community level, which is what you see here. So it's a little bit easier. It's a little less messy to look at. So overall, the participants identified 39 actors, and they called 24 of them the most influential. Those are the ones that you see on this in this graphic. The information flow what we found is that the zonal MOH, the Ministry of Health, is right at the center. So it's that red dot that you see, and there are a lot of links that go into the Ministry of Health. So a lot of information and technical assistance is going to the Ministry of Health, but not a lot is going out. And all the same thing is happening with youth clubs and regional development organizations. So this can really create a bottleneck of information flow when it's so dependent upon a couple of actors and everybody's sending something to these people but not really sending it out. And then what we found also is that donors and international NGOs tend to push out information to the actors that I just mentioned, but they're not really receiving a lot of it. So generally, the networking is fairly poor. And in terms of influence, governmental organizations and local NGOs were said to be highly influential. International NGOs were also seen as influential at this level, particularly for stepping in when there's a bottleneck of information and the government is having a hard time distributing that, but it's not really done systematically, and so that's why you don't see a lot of links among the different actors. They're mostly going to just a few at the very center. So as I mentioned, the zonal MOH is really seen as the most influential. It's seen as the guiding body among family planning and reproductive health actors. And as this one participant states, NGOs usually sign an agreement with the regional MOH, and so they're really reporting to them. And then if they fail to do what they say they're going to do, the MOH then takes action and reports it to the next highest level, the regional MOH. And there's also, as I mentioned, the government influence is very broad, and there did seem to be a preference for governmental actors as compared with international NGOs and bilaterals. As this participant in the second quote states, that empowering government line offices is actually a good idea because a lot of NGOs and donor engagements phase out. That's the perception that a lot of the participants had. A lot of respondents did talk about NGOs and religious leaders. The church is very influential, both the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, as well as Muslim Church in certain regions and zones. The second quote explains the respect given to the local tribal chiefs and the religious leaders, especially in very rural areas. And it's important to note that a lot of people follow what these leaders tell them to do, regardless of whether or not it's good for them or good for health and development. So these groups did show up somewhat on the net map, and they did appear to be influential, but they didn't seem to have a lot of networking, as I mentioned, or a lot of interaction among them. And sometimes they didn't even know about each other. They knew about the MOH and they knew about the health institutions, but they didn't necessarily know about all the other local NGOs, even in their own area. So in terms of funding, U.S.-based donors and bilaterals provide most of the reproductive health family planning funding at this level, but interestingly, a lot of it is channeled through international NGOs, so still giving most of the power to the government organizations, but channeling it down in various ways. And this is just an example of that the funds were initiated by the Ministry of Health and then given to Engender Health, that scaled it up in a variety of other areas. So So there are a number of other factors that can really affect the differences of how information is disseminating and flowing at the community level. Although there are a lot of actors in Ethiopia, we found that a lot of them, and this isn't probably surprising to anybody, but a lot of the more rural areas don't have as many actors working there. So the Afar region, which is very rural and remote, only had a few FP and RH programs, and the other areas had a lot more. Religion can be a factor, how FP and RH is perceived and what programs are accepted in the area. There's also a lot of difference between the urban areas, as you see at the top, and the more rural areas. We also talked about information needs, and what we found is that a common need among all areas was really easy to understand, basic information. They expressed that a lot of the people that they talk to have misperceptions about using contraceptives. They think that they cause infertility, or they are not really exactly sure how they work. So there's just a need for very basic information. People talked about a weak health-seeking culture. So they just, it's not a part of the culture to actually look for that kind of information. So that's a challenge. Also, looking for information in local languages and adapted for local contexts. And a lot of people requested low literacy materials using pictures, but also requested that they were appropriate for the context. For example, if the head needs to be covered in a particular area, that is also reflected in the teaching aids. They talked about needing timely and regular access to information, that there's not a place that they can go, just one spot that they can get all of the information on updates and best practices. You know, these are very busy people and they would like for just one place to go for this information. They also talked about needing additional training, improved information communication technologies, better internet connections, better mobile phone coverage. And then they requested lower tech methods of sharing information. So they said it would be great if radio were used more, if print materials were distributed more, and if they were more current. Some people said the internet is just unthinkable in relation to the high rates of illiteracy and the high cost, and there are just a number of barriers. Some people don't even have electricity, so it's really not an option for them. They also talked about the need for more coordination and stronger professional networks. They talked about resources being wasted because there's just there aren't those connections among people, and so they're basically reinventing the wheel, that the program resource coordination and integration is just so weak. So the preferred communication methods at the community level were really meetings and face-to-face communication. That's very highly valued. The need for print materials and radio, as I mentioned, and also even if a lot of the participants in the study had computers, they said that they preferred CD-ROMs and flash drives just because the internet connection is so bad. So even if they're looking for more high-tech information, they want it in a more low-bandwidth form. And traditional forms of exchanging information are really crucial to dissemination, especially at this level. There's a tradition in Ethiopia called Dagu, which is where two people meet and exchange all the information that they've been recently told. And that includes health. So if we could find a way to work messages about family planning and reproductive health into this existing tradition, that would be great. It doesn't seem like it's being done at the moment. Community dialogue is really important. And people do seem to make a connection between, you know, what people are doing in their work and how they can actually apply that to family planning and reproductive health. For example, one provider talked about community members using family planning to prevent pregnancies among their cattle. And so if they could use that among humans, that it would really make a big difference. So really kind of making it culturally specific to the context. So other communication methods, we were surprised that mobile phones were really not mentioned as much. They're pretty common, but connections are pretty unreliable, and a lot of people use them just for texting and can't really get a good reception when they try to call someone. And computers, as I mentioned, are common, but internet is less available. So in summary, the flow of information at the community level in Ethiopia specific to reproductive health and family planning is really dependent on the zonal Ministry of Health, on the government, and so it can be really slow to diffuse. Many NGOs at this level, but there aren't great networking and information sharing vehicles. So there are a lot of NGOs there, they're just not really talking to each other. And then we, you know, as I mentioned, social networks and meetings are really preferred and could be used more to exchange FP and RH information, and they're not really doing that now. And then what we found is that people are looking for information that's up to date, understandable, contextualized for their culture. They need a central place to go for information, more coordination, more infrastructure and training. So to address these, we have some key recommendations that really stemmed from the from the network mapping and interviews that we did. So first of all, communicating government policies regularly is very important, and developing these materials that are geared towards people at the community level. Also strengthening systems, strengthening the knowledge management system, strengthening these reproductive health networks among individuals, and setting up programs for learning and sharing, so resource centers at the community level. That's something that came up a lot, that would be great. It would be a great way of exchanging information. This is an example from a national level. This photo is from a national level resource center in Ethiopia. And then finally, really building upon the existing social customs and networks that already exist, for example, the Dagu tradition, and leveraging the support of the community and the influential people at the community level. And if I, you know, we felt that if programs really built that knowledge within the family planning reproductive health field and gained the support of those individuals, it could really meet a serious need for more networking and more information sharing at the community level. So if you'd like more information, feel free to contact one of us. And also we have a full study report that's available on the Knowledge for Health website, k4health.org. We have a full longer report as well as a 4-page summary report. And I think that's all. Thank you.